Pain to Brute.
live. Hey, too Brute. I thought, you know, I mean, admittedly, that's like a dubstep backing track, but it was really fun. But, you know, greetings in the name of the Most High. You know, has that, most people at least read to Revelation 6, don't they? They get that far? Surely they didn't miss the excerpt by Jesus and the letter to the churches and what he has to say about lukewarm. You know, that's the worst sin. You know, I mean, you're passionate about Christ. You got a lot of ignorant, dumb shit running after you, trying to, you know, crucify you. You know what I mean? They're going to persecute you as prescribed in the Bible. If you believe in Jesus, you will be persecuted. Here. If you believe in Christ, you'll be persecuted. Not just if you proclaim, if you talk the gospel, if you preach, or if you do anything like that, you baptize in Jesus' name, whatever. But if you believe, if you pray that God would help you in Jesus' name, you will be persecuted. If you hide that prayer in the middle of the night at 3 a.m., this is almost 3 a.m., not for you folks on the East Coast, but, you know, around the world, but that Jesus will, power of Jesus, that name above any other name, will help you. You will get persecuted and helped. The persecution comes with it. I spent a lot of time analyzing, you know, my own behavior, words I've said, words I've chosen to say, some things I just chalk up to being an artist. Because you have to be an artist in some way to create online, live. You know, there has to be something in you, whether you're a poet, whether you're an actor, whether you're a musician, whether you're, you know. You've got to have some kind of creative thing going, you know. I would just say an artist. It's an artist that goes on. And so you analyze, you know, that well, are you making an influence or not making an influence? And the thing is this. Those people, and again, you know, when I say dumb shit, dumb fuck, dumb this, dumb that, or whatever, I'm doing it for a reason. I am an artist, and I'm choosing my palette. And I must use that word. I'm a writer. I'm a professional writer. I'm a published author. You know, published by a, you know, legit, you know, not self-published, but published. And I am I'm a film director. I'm a producer. And a good one. And, you know, I'm a screenwriter. And a novelist. And, you know, and a singer, though that could be disputed. a producer of music. I produce these tracks so I can weigh in with my vocals and my chameleon ways. And I love all genres of music. I don't really, you know, I'll choose whatever. You know what I mean? I'm going at it like, if I listened to the Peanut Gallery out there, oh my God, I don't know if I could even make it through a day of that. You know, they'd have you, I mean, it seemed like all they want to do is make people quit and make them ashamed. You know, and the reason I produced whatever I produced is because I was led by the Spirit to produce it. And I've gone through a block right now with my, you know, with my mega sickness, whatever, this horrible experience I've had. And I'll analyze, well, did I let the witches in and they got me? And then I was writing this thing about witches in the hospital after. And then I got another hospitalization after that. Were the witches getting even with me? I mean, I left it on Substack so anyone could read it. Apparently it offended somebody. Could I have protected myself better? Not really. Could I have done anything? Was God punishing me? No, God was fighting the battle for me. God, I probably shouldn't have gotten out of there. That's really more it. And the reason that I am out of there is God. So you pray, you know, in Jesus' name. And the result is persecution. And that would include, you know, witchcraft, whatever. It just depends where you're at with it. Witchcraft being the biggest religion going now. So it's quite likely the witches are on your six. They like to work together to do spells of destruction and death. Oh, yeah, I've had curses like that on me about every day of my life. So I know exactly, you know, that there's, and you know, they take a toll. You don't do as well as other people. They can slow you down. They hurt you. And you're not unscathed. But then again, I chose to worship the Lord, the creator of all things, because that's my daddy. That's my family. That's my home. So if I proclaim my home, i.e. the truth, then I will be persecuted as I seek relief from my afflictions. There may be more afflictions piling on. But as I'm seeking relief from my afflictions in Jesus' name, I'm being persecuted as if I've done something wrong. I mean, I could take it that way. Oh, look, God didn't protect you. He's not supposed to protect me from persecution, you idiot. And I assume that we're talking to worlders, witches, dumb shits, whatever. It's said that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be persecuted as he was persecuted. And that's just the way it is. And that can be everything up to and including death. Nothing less. Now, we never seem to understand that, do we? So, to the observer, i.e. Job's friends, his good buddies, maybe you're doing this wrong, Zeph. Maybe you're doing that wrong, Zeph. Maybe you shouldn't have done this and you shouldn't have done that, Zeph. Maybe you should have embraced the churches and the middle way, Zeph. The middle way where we can share the gospel and spread the good news, Zeph. Well, the middle way. Bill Clinton used to tout, spoke fondly of the middle way. He thought that was splendid. And you know why? Because the middle way is the same as the lukewarm. With the middle way, I can do every damn thing I want to do in the church. You got your fornication, you got your drug, you got your orgies, got your pedophilia, got your human trafficking, and now, you know, and who told you so? I haven't gone by Uncle Z yet, but who told you so? Grandpa Z, right? Who told you so? On day one, okay, of COVID, that they would be you know, warping speed for this poison vaccine, and the churches will distribute it, just like they will be the gun collection centers eventually. But who told you that? I told you that over and over and over. How many times did I tell you that? The churches will be where you go to get your jab. That's where you get the jab. Now, these pastors have blood on their hands. They are just filled with death. All of them. The Catholic Church, Protestant churches, the Calvary Chapels. All they're all, you know, the Angel Studios. You know that in Hollywood, well, okay, I just the pressure. Let me tell you the pressure that I went through at the hospital for getting a gym. They shove that in your face. Not just that, but they want you to have the pneumonia vaccine. They want there's a whole bunch of vaccines. They want to give you a cocktail of vaccines, and they ask you every other day. I said no, and then they seem to understand. You know, no. You got body bags going out of this hospital. I see them every day. I see another dead person going down the hall. So no. You know? And oh, this one's been intubated. The next thing this one that just came in, we're going to intubate him, the nurse told me. Next thing you know, he's being wheeled down the hall dead. You know? Well, he came in with a very serious illness. We couldn't save him. So they're pushing it. The New World Order owns the hospitals. You know, the AMA, the allopathic medicine, became morphed into big pharma through the middle way. Everything, Fox News, your favorite for you conservatives out there. You love Fox News. And yet Fox News is owned by big pharma. Big Pharma owns all the hospitals. Big Pharma owns this one here in Santa Fe, Chris's St. Vincent. When they put you on Eliquis or Metoprolol, but mainly Eliquis, when they put you, they usually do a combination if you have AFib or some heart issue. They throw you on drugs right away and ask questions later. Okay, let me explain this to you. They have a whole department that they want to see you called anti-quag, okay? And they want to make sure that you're taking that. They want to double that because there's not enough supervision of patients when they're discharged. They, you know, sometimes stop taking medication. You know, sometimes, you know what I mean? They're on their own, right? There's not someone dispensing it. So they make appointments with you to go to anti-quag and pound into you that if you don't take the Eliquis, you're going to die of a stroke or a heart attack.
And they also...
That's what they do.
If you're not going to take it, then...
This is what happened to us.
Goodbye.
Oh, yeah, and then I said I wasn't going to take it, and they tried to throw me out of the office, even though I'm a discharged patient with rights. I'm an outpatient. And throw me out of the office for saying I didn't want it. I'd prefer not to. Okay, that is the dictator. These are the pathetic, you know, boot-licking, feet-licking slaves that implement their drugs. What do they give you when you go to the hospital? They try to do it all with drugs now. You know, I wound up with kidney damage from all this, and we're hoping they bounce back. They're doing what I can do for that, to that regard. But it's because of the overwhelming drugs and the antibiotics they gave me that was hard on the kidneys, that, and basically the heart medication that was also hard on the kidneys with low blood pressure. Wow, wow, wow. And guess what? They've caused almost an emergency. In other words, you didn't die of the infection, but you can die of the kidney infection, the kidney failure, renal failure, they call it. Okay, so there is no way to win, right? They cure you of one thing, they kill you on the other hand. That's basically it. And that's The hospitals here in New Mexico are all of them, under the jackboot of Big Pharma. And so is Fox News under the jackboot. They're all under the entire world is under the beast system. What's the beast system? Medicine. Pharmakia. Sorcery. What's the definition of pharmacy, pharmakia in the Bible, in the Greek? It means sorcery, doesn't it, in Greek? The word pharmakia. Pharma is basically the root of sorcery, yes? So basically, the whole idea is they conquer the world through sorcery, which they pretend is medicine, but with the side effects provided, every drug causes another disease. Therefore, you can't win. It's not like taking an aspirin. You can't win. Yeah, I thought that was rather well said. So for people that think they're going to go get help, I mean, they can put a splint on your leg. They can put a stent on your heart to drain off the fluid. They can put a chest tubes in your lung to drain off infection like me. They can do all that kind of stuff. And then it's the other things, though. It's the drugs. It's the pharmakia that gets you in the end. It's the drugs. That's what gets you in. Now we have this big thing of Ozempic. And everybody's running to Ozempic. And I hope and pray that my friends on Ozempic will lose the weight, get in shape, and then be able to leave it behind. God forbid they have to take it the rest of their lives. You know, and I hope they're successful in accomplishing the goal. Because nobody wants to be obese, but guess who caused obesity? They did. Why did they do that? So they could sell us drugs for diabetes and high blood pressure. It's all a scam. The whole thing's a scam, and who better to know it than me right now? Having been out of there just 3 months and then having all kinds of... And yeah, I cancel appointments too, because I realize I'm walking into another trap. And I don't want to walk into a trap. And so I need healers around me. People that are loving. People that care about you. You know, they care about the human body. They care about your spirit, your soul. People that believe in God. That they believe in hope. And they believe that there are cures that God has provided. And they're trying to, you know, they're trying to treat you that way. And to that end... They can't save everybody either, but God never said you save everybody, did he? He said you save everybody? No, you lose some. You lose some. You know, but the difference is, when you're addicted to Big Pharma, you know what those drugs do? Like the two I mentioned, metoprolol and the Eliquis that they had me on. They damage your soul. They damaged my soul. My interacting with God was blocked. I couldn't get on the right frequency. I felt I was drifting. I felt I was just a blob that I didn't care and nobody else cared, and just drifting on a sea of shit. But my heart rate was way down. In fact, it was so far down, they were alarmed because that hurt the kidneys. How about... No, it's not funny. It's horror. It's pure horror. But what is the symbol of medicine? The serpent and the rod, right? The serpent and the tree. The rod, the tree. The serpent in the tree that beguiles Adam and Eve, right? Into what? The middle way. What's the middle way? The middle way is the most sinister and devious and evil and deceitful plan ever devised by demon or man. Because it's the philosophy of gradualism, of slowly but surely working in that, you know, equity and inclusion of, you know, Christianity in there. And, ooh, that's so uncool. And we need more inclusion, diversity, and equity. Those, Jesus isn't about, we got to get rid of him. And here, we'll move in this little religion here. And we'll move into your churches. And we'll say, Jesus understands. Jesus is about love and turning the other cheek. Jesus is about communism and sharing. Why Jesus said, you know, anybody that's got money is evil. Jesus is about giving away all your possessions. Jesus is cool, man. And everything we adopt should be about that cool. Well, Jesus is about turning away from the world. But there's a reason for that. Because the world has rejected God. The builder, the cornerstone of the entire civilization on earth was rejected by the builders. That's Jesus, the truth. Now, this cornerstone existed before the foundation of the world. These are hard concepts to understand. They're only available to people with intuition and who have spiritual gifts, like you. But don't expect, you know, your mother-in-law to understand, okay? So, basically, I mean, or your kids, or your parents, or your teachers, or your whatever else you interact with out, whatever other useless activity you do out there. We all do useless activities all day long. The bottom line, though, is that the entire point of the gradualism, of the slowly lowering the standard of behavior, the standard of language, the standard of thought, the standard of doing. In fact, when Jesus appeared on earth, he was as much a reformer or an attempt at reformation as could be. He wanted to reform the synagogues and reform everybody to the original point, which is, my Father's house is a house of prayer, not a house of prostitution. And how many of those churches did Paul establish, you know, in Ephesus and elsewhere, that eventually threw him out because they couldn't do without their temple prostitutes and their sacrifices of the unfortunate babies that came along with it to Molech, which was another power ceremony. There's also the whole thing about the firstborn being sacrificed, but you see plenty of that in Hollywood. So here we are with the real truth. None of the influencers that have been chosen by the middle way have accepted the truth. No one has. Not even one. So what about Tucker Carlson? I'm not sure that he really understands what's going on. No. I'm sorry. I really like Tucker Carlson, but I really don't think he's... How about Joe Rogan? He was a liberal, and he's... So he actually said he needs Jesus. And I said, well, okay, then he would be a baby Christian. He has a lot to learn, doesn't he? Before he goes blabbing his mouth off, right? Huh? I just heard Alex Jones go through a diatribe of how he's going to, on the way to Valhalla, and he wants to line up with the devil and fight him, and I don't know, whatever he was, the tirade he was on, it was kind of entertaining, you know, it was definitely entertaining, and I enjoyed it, but it's inaccurate. There's really no way the human being can fight the devil, or a demon for that matter. It's God, you know, it's angels, it's a spiritual battle. We have to call upon the forces of light, the forces of good, the God's power. to protect us, to guide us through. But never did God say, no persecution. You know, you choose the path of Jesus. Even if you're just as quiet as a church mouse. No pun intended, but it's kind of funny. Okay? And you keep it all to yourself. You're going to be persecuted. You will be targeted. Most all the targeted individuals out there, many of them have woken up now to understand who they are in Christ, but many haven't. They think it's some political thing. It's because their soul is their being is belongs on the opposite side of this world, and that's where they occupy, and they're not joining. You know, just, okay, let me delve a little deeper. Not joining Satan, because everyone on earth gets the same deal. Are you in or are you out? How many of you have had that deal? We all have. I've had it several times. You've all had that, right? You could have been a contender. But how many of you were just, by default, I mean, you didn't have it directly like, here, sign this in blood or join. You didn't have verbal, but it was just like little signals and little nudges and nods and winks and things like that, indicating there's this other side, right? And you didn't go there because your spirit won't let you go there because you belong elsewhere. And it's got nothing, you know, you can talk about free will all you want, but you will always go to where you belong. So that kind of wrecks the free will argument a little bit, but you know, basically that's what it is. You will go to where you belong. You will naturally and when you know you belong with the Lord or whatever, you will seek fellowship with others, and they in turn will persecute you. And you'll say, I thought this was where I belong. And the answer is, welcome to the NFL. Sorry, kid. There ain't no Santa Claus. It's tough. If you quietly worship Jesus and are in prayer at all in Jesus' name. See, the witches will... They know, and this is the truth, okay? This is the whole truth, the axiomatic truth of the world. The job of the witches is to kill Jesus. You know, to get rid of Jesus freaks, Jesus this, that, to get rid of the Bible, just clear it all, get rid of it all. To get rid of anybody who has ever been a traitor and prayed in Jesus' name. Get rid of them. Get rid of anybody. Get rid of anything that has to do with Jesus. Kill Jesus, the one that ruins the entire thing. We're having a great rock concert down here on earth, and everybody is, you know, young and healthy and getting drunk and fornicating and throwing up on each other, and it's a good old time for all. Get rid of Jesus. Get rid of Jesus. Get rid of Jesus. And you can party all you want. Party all you want. Get rid of Jesus. Did you see the partying after the Chiefs game? Travis Kelce? Drunk as shit. I don't even know. Was it 40 minutes later? Almost stumbling off the stage and saying, well, I'm going to fight for your right to party. What an idiot. What the hell is this? He may be a brilliant football player. Maybe he'll be inducted in the Hall of Fame, but, I mean, my God, is that with that as an example, I'm not particularly proud of being drunk. You know what I mean? I don't think I've really achieved anything drunk that would be worth noting. I've drank to get rid of pain, man. I've drank to get rid of pain. I've partied with people to get rid of pain, to share a collective, you know, to forget my troubles. And of course, they come roaring back, and then I got to deal with the consequences of turning away from God for my solution, i.e. a bottle. And, you know, like that. I'm not the only one. People have been doing this for generations. So, I wouldn't want to be a famous football player that just won the Super Bowl, get up on a stage drunk out of my mind and say, I'm fighting for your right to party like we're, you know, worse than the worst rock, you know, more drunk than most rock stars would ever be. You know, I'm sorry that people are proud of pouring liquid down their throat. I'm sorry that they've mischaracterized it and made it like, oh, this is fun. And then what do? They start giving you all these commercials about Taco Bell and what, you know, KFC and all this really fattening, disgusting junk food that you can get instantly now and all kinds of combos that you're supposed to load up on. And now they're showing all the people indulging in it as obese on your Super Bowl show. Since that's the most watched thing there is, right? So I just say, you know, that I come away from the Super Bowl thing programmed to get drunk and to eat junk food. To get high and to eat junk food. And to get the Taylor Swift record, you know, to keep the flame alive. Maybe even her little demonic friend, or little imp, you know, whatever ice, what is it? Ice Spice. What a. I mean, if you can't see that, what that is, then you've learned nothing. Then you've done nothing on this earth. You know, this kind of shit that's going on, and then when you get in a big crowd like the Super Bowl or the hospital system or the prison system or any or the high school system or the college system, it's all around you trying to engulf you, trying to snuff you out. So we don't disparage our saints, do we? Our loved ones that go into the fire, get their asses kicked, but then they're still going, right? They're showing you Job for real. They're not complaining. They're not saying, I don't deserve it, Lord. They might have had to fight that off, but they're saying, okay, let's go from here. You know, I'll bet old Zeph, if you throw him in with a infection and do it again and hit him again and hit him to the point where he can't walk. He'll take his legs away and everything else. I'll bet you anything he'll turn on you. I'll bet you he'll turn on you. See, this is where I'm winding up. I'll bet you Zeph will turn on you. You know, Yahweh, Yahuwah, Yehovah. I'll bet you he'll turn on you then. Take his legs away. Then let's see what he does. You know? And or anything else, but you know, he'll start questioning you then, Lord, why me? Why me? You know, right? Well, yours truly, I don't think I passed the test the whole time. I think I did complain here and there. But I cleaned up my attitude when I did. You know what I mean? Like I was breaking down in tears, and you know, when you lose your legs, you do cry. You can't expect me not to cry. You had legs all your life, and then you don't. It's very traumatic. But to blame God, see, that's a whole other thing. And what the test of Job really is blaming God by, and listen carefully, blaming God by joining the other side. But don't worry, you'll be hidden by the middle way. That means you get to go to church and practice witchcraft at the same time, even though they're anathema with each other. That's why most of the people that go to church are witches. Why are they there? Because they're hunting. You know, they're trying to snuff it out. They're trying to put to move their coven in to be the high priests. And pretty soon they'll be, you know, don't worry, they'll be feeding the babies to Molech. They'll have the temple prostitutes. They'll have everything. Human trafficking, look no further than the whole society. How did we get here? Bill Clinton's illustrious middle way. The middle way, also followed by Obama and Biden, and followed by George Bush and McCain and Ronald Reagan and Ronald Reagan's wife and all of them. Fuck them all. The middle way. Yeah, and besides that, you've lost America. You know, Kenita out there, he was asking on his post on Facebook, you know, he has everything, the means to broadcast the word, whatever he's inspired by, at any time, day or night, 24/7. He's got, right, he's got his place where he lives, and he's got his setup to reach out to the outside world and his platform. And then he made a comment within that post that said, but I often wonder, what's the point? What's the point? You know, if people are not going to heed and don't listen and don't care, why should I do it? And now I'm not going to answer that, because I think the question answers itself. And you know, and he knows the answer, and I guarantee you he won't be going anywhere. But see, that question comes up. I've asked it many times. What's the point of doing the Zeff Report if it's only aimed at such a small amount of audience? It's not even trying to gain audience. And the Lord says, yes, that's the point of it. You have no idea where these podcasts go. They go all over the world. People listen to them in and out of time. They might not hear this one for 3 months, but when they hear it, it's just the right person hears it. So the Lord can distribute the podcast the way the Lord sees fit. Not I see fit. Oh, I got 4 million views. I must be really godly. I must really be a great minister of Jesus. No. It means you're very broad. It means you're very likable. It means you're really, talking and buttering up a mass of people, you know, from lots of different sides. And you say, well, I'm trying to bring in, through love, the lost. And I say, brother, you do that, I guarantee you 6 months from now, you'll be the one we're fishing out of the lake. You'll be the one that's fallen to the depths of the sea. You'll be the one that's lost. That's exactly the bass ackwards attitude to have. You shouldn't care how many people listen or don't listen. You shouldn't care how much money they pay you in donations or not. You shouldn't care. It should never even occur to your mind, any of those kind of questions. And if it does, then you're obviously out of it. You're out of favor with the Lord. Having 10 million views does not mean you have God's favor. Or TikTokers get millions and millions of views. Millions of views. For anything. You could do a chainsaw on this is how dumb these people are. You could do a chainsaw or smoke a cigar or flick a lighter, and you'll have 4.5 million views if you put it out there and, you know, network around and get, you know, and get in the streams. Most of the people, they don't even know why they watch your video. But since it's over in 10 seconds or 15 seconds, what do they care? They watch it. They get a bit of it. Right? I wouldn't call that. And so where ministries start catering to people and they keep trying to increase their numbers. Okay, so I just want to make it official. The Zeff Report has always existed to shoo people away. The whole point is to is basically not to create antipathy, but to create a sense of outrage, a sense of has been not to butter them up or to coddle them. And I was offered a lot of, you know, if I would change my tune and go under the training of the experts, that I could have my own church or my own broadcast and be very popular. Like I, you know, could be one of those guys. I could be another, you know, left behind guy or, you know, the whatever. Point of the Zeff Report has always been, what's the word I'm looking for, Trish? Not to disgust people, but to alienate them in some way. But it's not, the Zeff Report has always existed to be repulsive. Okay? And that's the complaint that I get, you know, through emails, that if you would just be less strident, less more people-oriented, more compassionate, more loving, you could reel them in. They'd be reeling in. You know, and don't go at, you know, 3 or 4 in the morning. You know, try to get more, you know. So they've had that discussion with me. I said, well, that might be good for my other endeavors or my business or me as a writer. But when it comes to the Zeff Report, I think God knows what he's doing, because that's what it is. And it was begun in a height. I was just looking at a picture of myself and how out of it I was when we were leaving L.A. and my face all puffy from drinking and drugs and, you know, and that whole thing with producer Mike and all that stuff that happened. It was just insane. And then all the persecution, all the gang stalking, all the infiltration of people into our home and you know, cooperation with the police and just all kinds of stuff that happened that eventually we escaped. We literally drove out two car. I had a truck, and I think Trish didn't have a motorcycle. I pulled behind the truck.
We had a Cadillac.
Oh, no. I'll tell you what I had.
Cadillac.
I had a motorcycle, but they took it in the van. They took it in the moving van. So we had the moving van, a couple of cars, and we just headed out for the highway. We stayed in motels. We didn't know where we were going. But we had sold the house. We had some cash. And, we're in a very fortunate position to change, you know, because if we had stayed there, we would have died. So that's how Harry got it. Because I'd started the Zeff Report right about that time in about 2002, March 9th, 2002. So just, I don't know how many years ago that was, but I guess that was about 22 years ago. And so that's a long time. And when it began, I would write words. I would receive mainly warnings. And I was, you know, warning people about you know, the wrath of God to come, should they not, you know, if they don't stop it. And when they say, stop it, what do you mean? Having fun, having sex, and all that? I said, no, that's got nothing to do with it. You don't understand, because you're stupid. So get out of here. Once again, I'll tell people like this, this Zeff report is not for you. Get the hell out. Go listen to some, you know, ear-tickling preacher somewhere that's going to make you feel good about you. Go listen to Franklin Graham, who will pray for you, not in Jesus' name, but he'll pray for you and say amen. You know, if you prayed that prayer, you're one of us now. Call that 800 number. Call that 800 number is suicide. But Trish and I called that 800 number. We, in other words, tried to go to a church, this church, that. Finally went to all the churches in L.A., a bunch of them. And every one of them was satanic. Every one of them was recruiting. Every one of them was run by witchcraft. Every single one. Without exception. So what do you do? So we eventually understood the whole world was like this. That where there's Jesus, there's going to be those other ones gathering. Because they're hunting souls. So they want to pick them off. What's the best place to go is a church where you might get lucky. They need to kill. They tried to kill me in the hospital a couple of times. They need to kill. They know. I don't have to explain who I am. They know who I am. They know exactly who I am. They told me. I see you. Yeah, you read my opening of the Angels versus Witches novel, which is not the title of the book, but I'm hoping I can return to that soon. I've got another writing duties coming up on two different projects, so I'm kind of keeping my powder dry till I get those done. My part of it, anyway. But, they're in hunting mode. And so one guy put two medications in my IV drip that then caused a skin rash to explode all over my body. The doctor was horrified. He had to give me steroids to get me out of it, which is like poison for me. And that guy disappeared. We couldn't find him. I did see him briefly afterwards as I was breaking out. And I said, and I knew he did it. A tu brute. That's why I played that. I said, and he was a big gay bear. You know what I mean? Just big guy wearing pink tennis shoes. You know, really a real flamer. A real big fat flamer. And, but I made friends with him. I thought I made friends with him. I tried to, you know, have some camaraderie. After all, he's my nurse. So, you know, I said, I thought we were friends. You know, no answer. Disappears. Never see him again. This is unacceptable. And I told people, he put something in the IV. He put these two elements in that were going to cause this problem. And he probably thought he was pretty happy with himself. He didn't think he would be accused. Because in the hospital, they get away with everything, don't they? Oh, that just must be a reaction Zeff's having to the medication. We better treat him. Oh, he died. Oh, that's too bad. I'm sorry, Ms. Daniel. Here's the body. We tried our best to save him, but, you know, no harm on us. Have a nice life, honey. You see the evil, huh? Anyway, my goodness. But I really thought we were friends at one point. But he was just storing that up. He was being deceiving. He was just, the fact is, I'm not, Antifa. I'm not, for Joe Biden, I'm not into Disneyland. I'm not a pedophile. I'm not gay. You know what I mean? So right there is reason to kill me. And that's how it's like. If you want to have fun? You go right ahead. You go right ahead and enjoy yourself. I think for things like birthing and dying, they should be done at home. Unless you just want to send people off in misery. You know, it's a lot less money to get midwives than go in there. And plus, the hospital's dirty as hell. Infections are whirring around there, spinning around. Sepsis is all over the place. You know, I just don't think it's a healthy place to have a baby, do you? When you think about that? Yeah, I'm still dealing with my own PTSD out of it. And the fact they try to not let me breathe. But I'm going to be working on that. Yeah. It's like they abuse you, and then they want to interview you to see if you're going to fight back. And if you are, they want to send you to the psychiatrist to work out your problems. Okay? Understand? Not a good place for you to go. If there's no other choice, obviously, that's what you've got. Otherwise, all these doctors, all these nurses, they're all cheap carnival barking opportunists. And they could care less about, you know, science and medicine. So that's where we are today. And how did we get here? Well, we got here through the middle way. We got here through the lukewarm church. We got through here and says, oh, I don't mind if you do. Oh, we can have this, you know. And they started in making it about gay wedding cake. But we're Christians. We can't make a gay wedding. Bible says you can't have these gay wedding cakes and these gay things and all this stuff. And what I say to that is this. Jesus is our covenant. And whatever he was bothered by, we should be bothered by. He is our rabbi, our king, our leader. Paul was the anti-gay guy because, you know, let me explain Paul. And no church will accept this. But Paul had a problem in that area. He was an elite Roman as well as a lawyer and, you know, the top of Jewish and Roman culture. And he was, a sinner. And he was expected to be debauched like everybody else. He was going around killing Christians. He probably had his fill at that time because there were no exceptions. So he had his fill of the debauched life of Rome. And I believe that he had a problem himself I do believe he was gay. I mean, he considered himself that, and I believe that he was, when he wrote those letters, that he was projecting his own guilt and saying that don't do this, women with men, because I, Paul, have been into it up to my eyeballs, and I can tell you where it leads. And I just want to show you here, this whole thing about human trafficking, pedophilia, gay, all this, you know, middle way, the whole bit, has led us to the brink of World War III and nukes. Nukes. That's where it's led to. Okay? So, Paul was acting like more of a prophet. And the other thing is, if you're sodomizing everyone that you have contact with, or being sodomized, you're not going to have... I know what they say about children, but we can put the womb in the blah, blah, blah. We can put a uterus in you now. No, you're not... You're not producing children. Right? And even if you are, you're borrowing a uterus. You're not, oh, I know, now they can make them in the laboratory, whatever. Men and women are the same. I understand. But basically, you know, at that time, you know, if the population isn't growing, then it's shrinking. And then the ability to defend itself is gone. Hence, you have the collapse of Roman society, you have the collapse of, you know, I mean, these are the reasons. Now, as far as I'm concerned, Jesus was not, didn't go around saying, don't masturbate and don't do this and don't do that. It's like telling a dog not to sniff the other one's butt. You know, it's just like, it's pretty much instinctual that, you know, people want pleasure. They want flesh pleasure. They're going to do whatever they can do. Understood. And he's not going at it from that standpoint. But Paul gave the perfect opportunity for these groups to cause division and say that Christians hate gay people. So Christians are haters. And when you look at Jesus, nothing could be further from the truth. So they lie. But it's because they have a legal mind, a dirty mind, you know, a lawfare mind. And so they figure, oh, we got Paul. But nobody really put Paul in context. He said, you know, if you can't see that the creator in the creation, then you're a fool. He said that too. You're a fool if you don't believe in God. You're just a fool. Well, most of his life, he didn't believe in God. Okay? He believed in gods. He was not a saint from the get-go. And I believe that's why God used him the way he did, because he wasn't like John, for example, you know, who was basically touched by angels in his writings. He was very lawyerly. He was very detail-oriented. He was very adamant about certain things that he believed what the gospel was all about. And he pushed that. And most of the churches adopted Paul's gospel, if you will, which there isn't one, but I mean, they make one out of it. And in a sense, reject Jesus. And that's, again, the middle way. They reject Jesus in lifting Paul up higher than Christ in the first place. And this is the problem with the Bible. People that say, every word of that Bible is God ordained. Well, you know, God is, every bit of that water in that creek is God ordained. I mean, you know, to me, the Bible is not something to look at and weigh everything evenly. For example, I can't really weigh the Sermon on the Mount and the New Covenant against, you know, any other part of the Bible and just say, well, you know, this Sermon on the Mount's good, but so is Ezekiel 33. You know, I really can't make those kind of distinctions. I would say that the Messiah, you know, in teaching and talking, everything that he was about trying to teach people to think differently. Everything that he did was to try to teach people to think differently. To go up to the Pharisees, it's like going up to the Pope, going up to the preacher, going up to your priest, and saying, you're of the devil, and all you do is lie, and you can't recognize me because I'm from above and you're from below. From John 8. Before Abraham was, I am. And of course, that was it. I think the die was cast right at that point when Jesus confronted the Pharisees and the scribes. Now, the things that bothered Jesus, okay, having attention to the world and not to God. Paying attention to the world, going by the world's plan, the world's thing, doing the world's thing, being a conformist. Numero uno thing Jesus was against. You can't be a conformist and you can't come with me. You can't come where I am if you're a conformist. If you have whatever you have, he'd say, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Whether it's, you know, money, properties, anything that glues you to the world, where you feel a sense of propriety. And that's where the communists tried to make Jesus their own thing, but it doesn't work because the communists need depravity in order to use guilt and shame to enslave their victims, or I mean members, which you can't do without mind control techniques, and you can't do it without shame and guilt and blackmail. So Jesus would be incompatible with that because they care about the world very much. Jesus was all about leaving the world. The other thing, other theme that people don't talk about, Jesus is all about leaving the world, going to a better world. How many people today talk about prosperity doctrine and making this work out and that work out? Jesus was not about making things work out on earth. It was being in the right zone, the right vibe, the right frequency to receive love and give love to God. And the reason that we forgive everything that happened and everyone is because our eyes are affixed on the kingdom, on heaven, on God, on Jesus. It's not, our mind is not affixed to the earth in World War III or World War X or whatever the next thing is. It's affixed. If we all die, so what? You know what I mean? That's the attitude of Jesus. If you all die tomorrow, so what? So we don't end up talking about men dressing as women, women dressing as men, lesbianism, homosexuality, whatever, and all the other transgenderism, transhumanism. Jesus wasn't concerned. But I think he made warning that, because he mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah, so he made warning that when it goes like this, it'll be like as if the days of Noah, that's when judgment comes, when the world becomes an abomination. What's an abomination? It becomes irreversible damage to the original creation is an abomination. Once again, that's irreversible damage to the original creation is an abomination. Okay? The transgenderism thing is enough, but it's also things like the mRNA injection, which is what we should focus on. Changing the DNA of human is an abomination. And these humans become abominations. That's why it says anybody that takes the mark of the beast, which I believe will be the digital ID, which is right, it's coming right up on the docket, is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, but it's because they're no longer human. It's not because God sits in judgment. Anyone who was disloyal enough to do something like that, you'll be punished by being outside the Lamb's Book of Life. First of all, anyone that's gotten the jab doesn't care about the Lamb's Book of Life. Go look at them. They're practically zombies already. They basically mumble to themselves while they walk up and down the street. And they're nuts in their minds. Their minds are ruined. There is no way back for them unless there's some kind of mass miracle. So that would be considered an abomination. An abomination does not belong in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's got to be DNA that was like Noah. Noah was a drunk. I mean, I don't know if he was as bad as Russell Crowe in that version of Noah, but he was a drunk and an outcast and, you know, pretty much kind of like a lot of you out there. God had favor with Noah because Noah was obedient. He was just waiting for something to do. And God had him build that ark. And I believe it. And you know, and he had favor, he had help. And why? They said, well, you know, why Noah? Noah's so, you know, so weak, this guy's drunk and babbling and indiscriminate sex and trying to have sex with his daughters, or I don't know the extent of his sexual habits, but you know what I mean. He's a mess. The point is, he found favor with God because he was righteous in his DNA. The DNA did not stray one iota from the core truth of God's creation, which is what? Which is in the image and likeness of the living God. So this DNA would be even more particular to God than the DNA of a tree, because this DNA is his image. This DNA is his creation, and this DNA is the future tabernacle of the Most High God. So you bet it's got to be perfect. Not perfect behavior. Not perfect, love and all the problems and toils and bitterness and the things that happen to people. And they get angry and they lose their way and all that. It's the DNA that remains perfect, despite the outer storms going on. I mean, all of us would love to be perfect and not do anything wrong. We'd all like to be perfect. We'd all like to behave perfectly and lovingly and gently and, you know, beautifully and self-sacrificing and self-effacing and a benefit to the world and not a selfish detriment, as people are today. So, but we can't do it. Our flesh is too strong. We get prideful, we get angry, we sin, and yes, sins, all the sins, sex sins, drinking sins, drug sins, coveting sins, jealousy sins, envy sins, murder sins. We do all that. We're all, you know, a human family. We do all those things. We wish it wasn't that way. Sometimes, you know, you'll find the heroin addicts and the murderers more Christ-like than anybody else. You know, and you know, oh, I wouldn't want to be in a church with them. So you know, you find the people in prison and on death row to be the most Christ-like of all. And isn't that interesting the way that happens? So here we are. The number one thing Jesus wants, numero uno. I mean, it's divided into several, you know, subsections, but I mean, the main thing is the separation from the world and the distractions thereof. Are we doing that? The Christian community online, on the internet, exposing George Soros and World War III. Are we doing that? Are we separate from the goings-on in the world, hoping we can get a little more money, hoping we can worry that we're not going to be able to make it? Worried. Jesus' other concern that goes with the separation from the world is this. Don't worry. If you're worrying, you're on the other side. That simple. If you're worrying, let the dead bury the dead. You know, after you figure that out, then, you know, come back. But maybe you'll be acceptable, maybe you won't be. But if you have things in the world more important than me, by all means, go do them. You're rejected. So that was a big tenet of Jesus' teaching. Jesus hated the rich and the people that had things, but it was more tempered with the idea that people that have things have to be stewards of those things and tend to them, which takes them away from Jesus, from God, from the path. So therefore, evil. And it goes on and on and on. On and on and on like that. I mean, if you have unforgiveness, you're off the path. But unforgiveness binds you to what? The world. So here again, he's saying, you know, have no attachments with the world, or you're not fit for the kingdom of God. You have to be ready to leave at a moment's notice. If you got to go straighten some things out or figure something out, you're not my disciple. You're not with us. You're being left behind. So that's the number one thing, in my opinion. And he didn't go around with a lot of. I mean, he did confront the woman at the well for having an adulteress and confront people on, you know, fornication, just like on envy and on other things. But it was all about getting your eyes affixed to the kingdom. It was all about accepting the forgiveness of sins and ultimately the ultimate price, the blood of Christ, which pays for the multiplicity of sin. And which was the whole purpose of coming to earth, to free people from the cares of the world. So now you can celebrate the good news. You're set free. You've been set free. Do whatever you want. You know what I mean? In that freedom. And, you're no longer subject to the law of sin and death, but now you're an eternal being. The breach is cleared. It's all an internal thing. It's all a faith thing. It's all something that, I used to see people make a big show of themselves in church. Oh, they knew the thing. They knew when to get on their knees. They knew when to stand. They knew all that stuff. Yet they turned out to be the most vicious, the most hateful, the most antichrist of all of them. The people that knew those rituals, they knew those scriptures. They would never say in a million years, if I went and said this to anybody, they would say, yeah, but you know, but God gave us things to do here to be good stewards on the earth. So we have to tend to those things. And I'll just say, look, the general message is this. It is to count up your treasures in heaven, in the kingdom, not upon the earth. If God has given you a ministry or anything to be a steward of, then be a steward of it. Be a good steward, which means keeping your eyes on the Lord. And that stewardship or whatever that endeavor that is, it's a secondary thing. It's not a primary. Anyway, that's as far as I can go with it. That's it for today, boys and girls. And I hope it feeds. Because, see, Jesus makes it so easy. You know, it's just, to me, it's like a message. Don't worry about it, Z. Just drop out. I'm like, I already am dropped out. I mean, okay. I'm fucked up, man. That's just what I'm looking for. Yeah. And so, don't reform. But really what it is don't put your cares on the world. Put them on the Lord. That's really the whole thing. And accept the forgiveness of sins by the grace of God, given through mercy and grace, and understanding that you can't save yourself. I wish even if we could, we wouldn't want to. We're too busy in our soap opera, aren't we? There's a lot of things, events I didn't go to because Jesus spoke to me. And the reason why is because they were dangerous. Because there are people there looking to steal your soul, steal your faith, demoralize you, hurt you. And if you're not up to it, then you should just avoid. Anyway, God bless. And let's find... looking for it. Where is it? Sorry, guys. I'm just trying to find out.